soul to soul, spirit to spirit. Blessings. Well, we had an interesting talk the other day by Herb Fitch, in which we were instructed to read a chapter in The Infinite Way called Our Real Existence. And before I read that chapter, I had already been having some realizations in my meditation, all concerning something called the rapture. Perhaps you've heard of the rapture. The usual interpretation is that explained by modern-day Christians who made a series of books based on the rapture called Left Behind. And this theory of the rapture is tied into certain scriptures, such as Paul's statement, "We shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye." And that other scripture that says, "Two are standing in the field, one shall remain, one shall be lifted up." And so the theory is, you tie those scriptures together, and you have a very, almost a scientific or science fiction story of people, two people in a bed and one of them disappearing and there's nothing there but a pile of clothes. Two people driving down the street and one person disappears and there's nothing there but a pile of clothes and the car crashes into another car or into the side of a building because no one's in it. Very interesting theory. And the only thing wrong with it is there is no material, structural universe. Paul is not talking about human beings being lifted up into the sky somewhere. Nor is Jesus talking about human beings that just disappear while they're working in a field. When you have no spiritual, mystical consciousness, you read scripture with a material mind, don't you? And that material mind is the natural mind, the natural man that cannot receive the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. And I learned about 35 or 6 years ago that if I was going to read the Bible, I would have to do it taking one statement at a time and taking it into my meditation until an inner spiritual discernment revealed the truth. And that's kept me in pretty good stead all these years, and I still approach Scripture in that way. And so, as I considered the rapture, knowing there is no material universe, I had to take it within my secret place, within my consciousness, and see what that inner spiritual voice, that spiritual discernment, had to say about it. And I've had quite a bit of unfoldment on it this week. And even this morning, several things came to me very quickly I kind of wish that I had this microphone on because they were coming so quickly. So we need a starting place this morning. Let's start with the first paragraph of the chapter, Our Real Existence from the Infinite Way. Our real existence is as spirit. Now those six words should shock you to your very roots if you hear them with spiritual discernment. If you read right over them and think, well, yeah, I've read that before, then you're just looking at it with that natural man or natural mind. This is telling you God, your Father, is a spirit, and you, yourself, are a spirit. I and the Father are one. This makes you a spirit, even as God is. And this is what this is telling us. Our real existence is as spirit. And only in the degree that we perceive our real existence as spirit do we drop the false sense of life as material. And there he's saying, a material sense of life is false. And he drives this home by saying, then we see. When you perceive yourself as spirit, then you see that the structural life of man, animal, and plant is but the false sense of existence. It's a false sense of existence. That our concern for the so-called necessities of material living has been unnecessary. Yes, that's why we are told to take no thought for your life. Take no thought for your false sense of existence, this material, structural universe, man, plant, animal. And to drive it home even further, Joel says that although the beauties, such as Purple Mountain's majesty and unlimited horizons of oceans and the waves crashing into the sea, crashing into the shore, beautiful sunsets, rainbows, fluffy white clouds, springtime bursting forth all over with beautiful flowers. Although the beauties we behold all hint at God's creation, they are not that spiritual and perfect creation. And furthermore, that the sick, aging, dying appearances are not at all a part of real life. So what has he just told us there? He's told us anything you can see, hear, taste, touch, or smell, whether beautiful or ugly, is false. A false creation. A false universe. A false man. A false woman. A false plant. A false animal. Whether it's beautiful, whether it's a beautiful woman, 25 years old, perfectly proportioned, a 10, that's false creation and was not made by God. Whether it's an ugly, deformed human being that can hardly get around, such as the Elephant Man, that's a false creation. Both pictures are a false creation. When we arrive at this state of consciousness, what state of consciousness? The consciousness that knows this is a spiritual universe, and all of these pictures were not created by God. When we arrive at this state of consciousness, we begin to catch glimpses. We catch glimpses. We see. with an inner seeing. We catch glimpses of eternal spiritual existence, untouched by material conditions or mortal thoughts. As we, that's you and I, my friends, as you and I, turn from the world, the entire world that we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, then we catch visions, inspired visions, which show forth the earth and the man of God's creating. Now that's just the first paragraph in that chapter. But I submit to you, if that which you can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is a false creation, a false person, whether beautiful or ugly, whether well, healthy, or sick, whether wealthy or poor, whether young or old, all of that is a false sense showing you pictures that have no existence in God. That's why they're not under the law of God. That's why they can swing back and forth at any moment. So if all of that is a false creation, and most of us have been living in that false creation our entire lifespan, then I submit to you there is no rapture there anywhere, nor will there ever be a rapture there. Then what is this rapture? Was Paul mistaken? Was Jesus mistaken? No? No, of course not. We know they had spiritual discernment. They had that inner Christ, that which Jesus called my Father, that which Paul called the beloved Christ. They had that inner voice which revealed to them the truth. They definitely caught glimpses of the real creation. They definitely had visions of the world of God's creating. So then, where does this rapture take place? And what is it? Well, there is an inner spiritual kingdom. Well, at first it feels like it's inner, but in fact that's inaccurate too, because it's inner and outer. There's no inside or outside to it. When you do catch the vision, the glimpse of the spiritual kingdom, you'll discover it's within you, and you're within it at the same time. So the rapture takes place as an inner experience. That's your first key, your first clue. The rapture is an internal spiritual experience. So we look at the scripture. Two are standing in a field. One is lifted up. What does it mean? The field is your conscious awareness. In the beginning of your spiritual journey, perhaps you had the same experience I did, and I'll tell you about it. I went through a rather painful period where my wife left me, ran off with one of my friends. And as I sat there one dark night of the soul, I happened to open up a book of the Infinite Way called The Art of Meditation. And I read a little bit, and I put the book aside, closed my eyes for a meditation. And in the meditation, I reached a state of stillness. Not for a long period of time, just for a moment or two. Yet in that moment, suddenly, into my very feelings of loneliness and aloneness, suddenly there was a presence there. I felt it. It touched me gently on the side of the face. There was a tingling sensation, and with it a sense of peace. And I was lifted out of, for a moment, any thought of this world. My entire attention was focused on that presence. I was, you might say, caught up in it. Well, that was my first taste of a presence, another dimension, another being, other than this world that I could see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, other than this man and these plants and these animals, which I had been having my existence in for my entire life up to that point. This was my first glimpse, and it was brought to me, number one, by the desperation that causes you to look deeply within, and number two, by the guidance I received through Joel's writings, which were really the Christ speaking through Joel. And so in that way, I was given my first experience of the presence of Christ, or God, or spiritual being, or the kingdom. The words aren't important. But the experience lifted me above, for just a moment, this world. Over the years, I have come to see several things about that presence. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, because it ties in exactly with the rapture. They say that truth is hard to take. Sometimes it's bitter in the belly. In the beginning, we look at this spiritual presence as something separate from ourselves, don't we? We practice these principles, and occasionally we have a visit from this presence. So there's a me, and there's this presence. We are standing between two worlds. It's been explained like this. Sometimes the presence lingers in the background. Sometimes it comes forward and seems to control the things around me. But always there is a presence. And that's the way it is for quite a while on this path. There's a me, and there's a presence. And that's as it should be. That's just exactly where we should be. But as we progress, there's a certain period, a certain moment, and I know when it happened to me, and you will know when it happens to you. There's a certain moment where you sit still in your meditation, or a certain moment in which you attain the silence. You might even be walking around. But there is a specific moment in which it suddenly really crashes into your awareness that that presence is the reality of you. Now, I remember when that happened to me. And I'm not giving you this as a formula. I'm just telling you when it happened. Somewhere around 1980, 81, 82, I was in my living room one evening, having a meditation. When the words that Moses spoke, I am that I am, or not the words Moses spoke, but the words Moses heard and realized as imparted truth. That's the right way to say that. I am that I am. And suddenly, like a thunderbolt, like a sound of a trumpet, the realization poured into me. The reality of me, that which I really am, is that I am spirit, that I am being, that I am. And I jumped up, eyes open. What? Yes. Yes. I'm not a human being. I am that I am. I am the I am itself. Oh, I almost couldn't contain myself. I ran over to the phone. I dialed Herb Fitch. Herb, you know what I just realized? Yes, he said. Yes, that's exactly who you are. Well, that is quite a shocker the first time that happens. Because if that's the truth of me and you, who is this human being? And we go back to the books, and suddenly we see things we never saw before. Why, it was right there, but I didn't have the eyes to see. I didn't have the ears to hear. Our real existence is as spirit. The structural life of man, animal, and plant is false. We go back and read things like the thunderous silence. We discover that his story of the lost baggage isn't just a cute story about how he got his baggage back by practicing spiritual principles. No, it's not that at all. There's a deeper layer to that story. He was telling us exactly, specifically, there's no material baggage. There's no material you. This is a spiritual universe. And there is a spiritual self. And your job is to make contact with that spiritual self. And then to die so that only the spiritual self remains. And oh my God, it starts you on a deeper level of searching than you ever had before. You go back to the books, you go back to scripture. There it is, there it is. Look, there's Paul. And we read here in 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And now we begin to understand. My God. My God, this isn't about practicing spiritual principles to improve my human life. That's only kindergarten. I'm advancing now. And at this point in our progress, we find very few people we can talk to. We have long periods of aloneness. Because nobody can understand this. We can't go online and share, guess what I discovered? Because we'll either have an argument, or people agreeing with us just because they don't understand what we're saying. If we don't have a teacher, it's really a feeling of aloneness. Which Joel says in the Parenthesis in eternity drives many students from the path. It's at that point that they fall away. And I know some of your aloneness because you've shared it with me. And you know mine because I've shared it with you. But this is a part of the path which we must walk, in which we discover, oh my God, it's really true. This spiritual presence is myself. It's the only self. It's invisible. It's spirit. And it's I. And this human being that thought he was practicing principles when he doubled his income, that's all a dream. And this human being that thought he was practicing principles when his health improved, it's a mirage. And this human being that thought he was practicing principles when he found this lovely companion, that's part of the sleep, a false sense of the universe. And so now what do I do? How am I going to die out of a material sense of self? How am I going to die out of everything I see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, and everyone I see, hear, taste, touch, and smell? Die completely out of that. How am I going to come into the conscious awareness of my infinite spirit? How am I going to live in that infinite spirit? How am I going to die so that infinite spirit lives me? And then we're thrown into the scriptures that give us the answer, which are the scriptures about the rapture. There are two standing in a field. One is lifted up. The field is your conscious awareness. And in the beginning of your journey, you have the conscious awareness of two. There's this infinite presence that you sometimes feel in your meditation. And there's you, the person, the persona, the mask, the dream. And yes, one must be lifted up. The other must be dissolved. And now you know the personal sense of self, which is not a self, must be dissolved. And the I must be lifted up. I must be lifted up. I, that invisible spiritual self, that presence you've been feeling, is your own presence. That presence is one with the Father. The Father is that presence. We're all in agreement with that. I go into meditation. I close my eyes. I feel the presence. I feel the Father. I feel God. Right? You have too, I'm sure. If that presence that you're feeling is the only real presence, and if you are that presence you're feeling, then God is your only presence. And you, in reality, are God. And that's another truth we do not like to hear. It's very frightening to the human mind. Why, I can't go around thinking I'm God. You're right, you can't. Or you can, but they might put a straitjacket on you and lock you up, which is the very thing the human mind's afraid of. No, it's not right for you to go around thinking that anything human, whether a material body, a human mind, or human emotions, are God, because they're not. They're the dream. But this spiritual presence at the center of your being, which is your only being, is God. And so now you have to grapple with that. How do I do that? How do I walk around with the conscious awareness that I am God? And you go back to the scriptures and you search and you find out that, you know, there is no external God. There's no God up in the sky, by and by. There's no God after you die, somewhere. You find out that God is your being. And so this invisible spiritual presence, in other words, God, well, what did Paul say? In the twinkling of an eye, the dead are raised incorruptible. And so in the twinkling of an eye, those that are asleep, that have the conscious awareness of themselves as human, will be raised into the conscious awareness that they are divine. This corruptible, this human, must put on incorruption, or God. This mortal must put on immortality. And so, see, Paul faced the same things, didn't he? Paul faced the same things. The mortal, human, must die. How does that go? A seed falls into the ground and dies, then it springs up? You must die to your humanhood and awaken into the conscious realization that this is a spiritual universe, that you are made of spirit. God is a spirit, you are a spirit, one spirit. And that spirit is the reality of your being. And there's not that spirit and a human. That spirit is the only reality. So we discover we must find a way to consciously abide in our own infinite spirit. And we must find a way to experience that spirit abiding in and as us. We read, I, if I am lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Which means if you find this way to lift up the I, the reality, the spirit, then your entire existence will be lifted up and onto the level of that I. You see, it never was about demonstrating wealth or health or harmony in relationships. The spiritual path is about dying to all the bad, to all the good, and awakening to your Christ identity. Now, Christ is God itself individualized. God itself as infinite individuality is Christ. That is yourself. In other words, God itself is yourself. And so we discover a deeper level to what it means to take no thought for your life. That's not just a pretty poetic statement. He means what he says. He's done it. So we ask ourselves in our meditation, what does it mean to take no thought for a material, personal, human life? What does it mean to take no thought for a material universe? How would I live if I was to take no thought at any time for my personal life? How would I live if I lived in the Spirit and the Spirit lived in me, if there was only the Spirit living here? Again and again and again we come within, we dive deeper and deeper and deeper, closer and closer to our eternal God self. My kingdom is not of this world. We thought that applied to Jesus. Now we're beginning to have hints, glimpses. That applies to me. That applies to me. My kingdom is not of this material world. No wonder I have felt different my entire lifetime, like I didn't fit in. Because I don't. I won't. I will never fit in this material, structural world. It's a dream. It's a false sense of spirit. I'm standing in the spiritual kingdom, but I have no conscious awareness of it. I still see, hear, taste, touch, and smell this world. But my kingdom is not of this world. It's not of this world. These things cause you to have deep meditations, contemplations in which you go within and ask yourself some very serious questions. We read things such as, I am the life. I am the truth. I am the way. And our meditations take on a different complexion. We're not meditating anymore to change, well, to manipulate a little matter out here. We don't care about it anymore. And I mean, that's about as honest as I can be. We just don't care. It's a dream, so what? I don't care. Joel describes it as bad or good. What difference? Wealth or poverty? What difference? Health or sickness? So what? We are changing. We are changing. So we turn within in our meditation for one purpose. We become single-minded, don't we? Our eye is single now, and that is to step out of a human sense of existence, to step out of a material sense of the universe, to have the conscious awareness in our consciousness of our Christ self, infinite, eternal, immortal. We want nothing less than the conscious feel of our Christ self, our God self, dwelling in us and us in it. And I feel that Christ self right now. It is moving my lips. I rest in it. It dwells in me. It is the only reality. And so, the reality of I is infinite Christ, one with God. God is the reality of I. What is our work at this point? This is really the third degree of the spiritual path. What is our work? Are we supposed to continually trying to make demonstration after demonstration of health, wealth, companionship? No, we're not in kindergarten anymore. We are now advancing students. And it's about time, really. This inner being, your God self, says, I am the resurrection. And so you have one work now to so still this false mind that you can hear, that you can feel, that you can commune with this inner I. For this inner I is the resurrection. This inner I is the life, yourself. This inner I is yourself. This inner I is God. God is yourself. Your work now is to die out of a material sense of self. To die out of a material sense of universe. And you do this first in your meditations. You do this first by having the conscious awareness of your spiritual self, God, flowing in and through you. In your meditation, you lose the conscious awareness, the conscious feeling that you're a human being. You are lifted up gloriously, lifted up in the twinkling of an eye. You suddenly have the feeling of your own infinite God self. Sometimes it lasts for a few minutes, sometimes for a few days. You are making the transition from man of earth to that one who has their being as Christ. And you'll find, if you will take the necessary time, it's suggested way back in 1955 that we take 12 periods a day in which we become still. Look out at this material sense of the world and say, there's no answer to this. I drop it. Christ, reveal yourself and sit still for 2 or 3 minutes. Nothing else. No other attempt to do anything. Just listen. It's suggested if we will do that 12 times a day, that Christ at the center of our being, that God self, will begin to resurrect us into itself, will begin to dissolve a material sense of self. The material sense of self cannot dissolve itself, and if you've been trying that, that's why you're frustrated. You can't do it. But in these periods of inner listening, 12 times a day, this presence announces itself. And at first you'll feel it as a separate presence. But you persist. Go deeper. Be still for a longer period of time. and this presence will lift you into itself. You will have, well, let's read it again, shall we? Just this one paragraph. We'll read it all at once. Our real existence is as spirit, and only in the degree that we perceive our real existence as spirit, do we drop the false sense of life as material. Then we see that the structural life of man, animal, and plant is but the false sense of existence, that our concern for the so-called necessities of material living has been unnecessary, that although the beauties we behold all hint at God's creation, they are not that spiritual and perfect creation, that the sick, aging, dying appearances are not at all a part of real life. When we arrive at this state of consciousness, we begin to catch glimpses of eternal spiritual existence, untouched by material conditions or mortal thoughts. As we turn away from the world we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, we catch inspired visions which show forth the earth and the man of God's creating. And so, if you will do this in your meditation, you will go deeper or higher. You will come to see and have the conscious awareness that this presence you've been feeling is you, yourself, capital S, self, your God self. And as you dwell in it and are lifted up into it, you catch glimpses of that perfect spiritual self, that perfect spiritual kingdom, that perfect spiritual creation. And you will see, this is a spiritual universe. I am spirit. And you will experience the rapture, which is the conscious awareness of your own Christ identity. It happens right here, within your being. And this I that has been lifted up in you now will draw your entire experience onto itself, so that that Christ identity expresses your entire experience. And like Paul, you will say, "Well, my God, I live, yet not I. Christ is living itself." Only Christ isn't some being from outer space living your life. Christ is your own spiritual identity. Yes, two are standing in a field, and one is lifted up. You are lifted into your Christ identity, right here. And the personal sense of self dissolves. It dissolves. And all of this takes place in your consciousness. No one looking at you from without can even have the slightest idea. Unless, of course, they are another one. Because if they are another one going through the same process, they only need to look in your eyes, or look at the corner of your mouth, or listen to a word or two, and they know. They know. There's another one being lifted up. And I don't know about 144,000, which is the magical number they throw around all the time. But it wouldn't surprise me if there were only 144,000 out of 4 billion people that were making this transition. So they might be right on that. I don't know. I know I'm making the transition, not because I decided one day, well, I think it's a good day to awaken. It didn't work that way. I had problems that drove me deeper and deeper and deeper until I discovered the only way I can be free from the thoughts and things of this world is to awaken out of this world while standing right here. And now I'm inviting you, my friends, to be a part of this invisible spiritual underground, to join me in this transition. For behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all continue in this dream of this world, of this false self. But we shall all be changed. All of us that are walking this path and making the commitment. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall be sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In the twinkling of an eye is the glimpse you catch of your spiritual identity, eternal, forever, never born, never dying, invisible to the eye, and yet present. The last trump is when you step off that precipice. Yes, I know I've been living as a human being, but now I'm taking that step. I'm going to die. Christ, reveal my real identity. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible. You who have been dead, dead to the conscious awareness of your God self, only aware of a human self, you'll be raised into an incorruptible, eternal, immortal self. You shall be changed. For this corruptible, this human, must put on incorruption, must put on spiritual identity. This mortal, this human, must put on immortality, Christ identity. It starts in, well, it's, here's how it plays out for most of us. In the first degree of the spiritual path, we are content to practice spiritual principles and double our income, improve our health, improve our companionship. And that's as it should be. You wouldn't expect a person in kindergarten to know algebra, would you? No, that comes much later, about the sixth grade. You start working with simple equations. And so in the second degree, we learn about the nature of God, the nature of prayer, the nature of error. Perhaps we've never learned the nature of error before, and we start working with those principles. And we catch, well, we see error just drop away as we practice these principles. We begin to see there's a spiritual presence within us. And when error hits up against it, error is dissolved. And we see some healings, and we feel we're really getting somewhere. And we are. But now we reach the third degree. And almost everything we've learned has to be dropped. For now there's one goal left. To die completely to a material sense of existence, a material universe, a material body, a material person. Here in the third degree, we are dying. Completely. We are making the transition into our spiritual identity. We are taking it seriously when we are told this is a spiritual universe. I and my Father are one. God is the only presence. And we are content to live life as a witness, as a beholder, as God lives itself. Right here where I am. Right here as I am. Yes, this is a spiritual universe. But reading about it is not enough. Talking about it is not enough. You must have inspired vision. You must catch glimpses. First in your meditation. First in your meditation, you catch glimpses of the invisible, incorporeal, spiritual universe which dwells in you and in which you dwell. Then you have the same glimpses with your eyes open, walking around at times. You see what others cannot see. Two of you are standing in one room. One of you looks across the room and sees the wall. The other looks and sees into the spiritual dimension. Yes, you begin to take it very serious when you read your real existence is as spirit. You start asking questions of your spiritual identity. Reveal yourself, come on. What am I? How big am I? What do I look like? What do I feel like? And you catch the conscious awareness of your spiritual identity. You have the feeling of it. First in your meditation, and sometimes while you're driving a car down the road, it's quite disconcerting at first. You're driving along and suddenly you catch the glimpse of your infinite spiritual self, and at the same time you're coming up to a stop and applying the brake, and yet you're experiencing an everywhere identity. It's quite disconcerting. You're living between two worlds. The two worlds haven't become one yet. But they will. The two selves haven't become one yet, but they will. Duality hasn't become a constant state of oneness yet, but it will. This world and the kingdom haven't become my kingdom yet, but they will. Now, for those of you who wish to join us in this spiritual transition, for those of you who wish to experience the rapture, we're going to begin a new series of talks. If you are a member of Mystical Principles list, they will be posted there, and you will be able to download them and listen to them. That's all I'm going to say about them right now, but they are for those of you who are advancing students. And I invite you to participate in your own death, and in your own resurrection, and in your own transformation. Please join me, so that we can, like Paul said, be lifted up together to join with Christ in oneness. Thank you.